So where did this all begin to come to light? Where did the SEC issue start?
Actually, the SEC issue started back in July of 2010 when one of our staff members was working closely with them in their records management shop to work on records management issues, and we became aware of a records management issue where they weren't able to control these records called matters under inquiry. And these are a series of records that we became aware of and that they became aware of that needed to have a records control schedule developed for.
So as this came to light, was it apparent that they were just willy-nilly shredding documents or disposing of documents unnecessarily? Or was there sinister intent? Were you even in a position to try to judge intent? How did that work?
Essentially, we became aware of the situation and began to work with them on identifying these records and what needed to be done to better manage them. And we're still in the midst of sorting those issues out with the SEC. What was clear to us as part of the interview process and part of the exchange with the agency was that this was a body of records that didn't have what we call a records disposition schedule. This is an authority that can only be granted by the Archivist of the United States to individual federal agencies so that they can either dispose of records that have temporary value to them or transfer records to the National Archives, the 1-3% of records that agencies create that has historic importance that we need to bring into the National Archives and make available to future generations.
How of a problem could something like this be, especially if you're talking about something that goes back 20 years?
It depends upon the mission of the agency and what the records represent. The staff that we have here at the Archives works with over 240 agencies across the federal government on these issues every day. And what our staff does is works with agencies to identify what the business needs they have in the records and information that they're creating or receiving and doing their business, helps the agencies understand what the rights and interests related to these different types of records are, and then tries to figure out what those 1-3% of records are that have historical value are and bring them into the National Archives. One of the things that our staff does with what are called records officers within agencies, these are officially designated officials within each federal agency who are responsible for records management activities. What our staff does with these individuals is look at the different business processes and missions that agencies have, better understand what kinds of records and information are generated in those processes, and then we work with those agencies to get appropriate disposition authority from the Archivist of the United States so they can better manage those records, again, for the business needs of the agencies, the rights and interests that are represented in those records for citizens and others, as well as to figure out what those permanently valuable records are that document the national experience are.
So I can better understand the process. It sounds like NARA then is out in front on this. This is really part of the mission of your agency. And one of the things you do is you go to these different offices and these different agencies and show them how it should be done so that mistakes aren't made later.
Absolutely. As part of being out in front with agencies, we go in and talk to the records officers, talk to the program managers that are managing the missions of these agencies, talk to general counsels and CIOs within agencies, and explain to them what the value of these records and information are and help them get disposition authority so they can better manage them either from a program perspective, from an IT perspective, protect rights and interests from a legal perspective. So that's what our staff does on a daily basis here in the Washington area and across the country.
Are there different rules for different schedules or different agencies, or are they all the same rules but they would be applied differently depending on the circumstances?
There are specific schedules that are developed for each agency, and we have staff members that work individually with each of these agencies to establish what those rules are. All the rules come from what is called the Federal Records Act of 1950, which gives the archivist the authority agencies the authority to dispose of records or transfer records to the National Archives. And this is an authority that solely rests with the Archivist of the United States. So what our staff does is works with each of these agencies, identifies the different bodies of records or series of records that these agencies are creating, does analysis on those series of records. If these records are going to be destroyed, we look for public comment through the Federal Register process on what the public thinks of these records and how they need to be maintained. And then for the permanently valuable records, we determine what those are and have them transferred to the National Archives at a certain point in the future when those records are no longer active in the agencies.
We are talking with Paul Wester, the Chief Records Officer for the government at the National Archives and Records Administration. What sort of position does this then put NARA in? What is your responsibility? How much of the onus then lies with you if you find an organization that's not handling their records properly?
the onus is on us to confront the agency and make them aware of the instance that we've become aware of. In this case, this was a matter that was brought to our attention by an employee of the SEC, but frequently what we do is learn about these instances through the press or public interest groups or other concerned citizens who bring these sorts of issues to our attention. And what we do is, using our authority in the law and regulations that we've established, is we reach out to the agencies, ask them to provide us details of what happened with an allegation of the destruction of records and what kinds of actions are going to be they're going to put in place to better manage those records going forward.
So then what do you do if you do find that impropriety? What are the next steps? And how much trouble could a person or organization get in, really?
The main issue that we work with agencies is to help them get practices and procedures in place so it doesn't happen again. If there are issues where records have been alienated and not so much destroyed, but alienated and taken away, there are some processes that we have available to us in working with the Department of Justice to get those records returned to the agency or returned to the National Archives if they have permanent value. I'm a records manager by trade, and I'm not a lawyer, but our focus primarily from our shop's perspective, and we work with our counsel when we have legal issues, is our focus is to help agencies better manage their records so that we can have good practices in place in those agencies so that they can meet their business needs, protect citizens' rights and government accountability, and get permanent records transferred to the National Archives.
I want to learn more about those best practices. What are some of the bottom line best practices that all agencies and offices and organizations should keep in mind, and really the rules of the main rule of thumb that you should be following, no matter who you are?
The main rule of thumb is to make sure that you're collaborating within your organization to understand what the business practices are, what the mission of the agency is, what kinds of records and information you're generating or receiving as part of that operation, and how to manage it most effectively, both from the program or mission perspective, from the legal rights general counsel perspective, from the IT perspective, and from the records perspective. What we preach in our records management training classes that we offer to records officers and others across the government is that you need to have the right people in the room to understand what your business is and what the records and information that are generated from those businesses are, so you can better manage them either from a technology perspective, from a policy perspective, or from an operational perspective.
And I have to ask, we're in this digital age where a record could be a tweet or posting on Facebook or an email versus an actual memo that's been written and signed and posted somewhere. Does that make it easier or harder, or is it just different?
In my mind, it's just different. The materials that are generated in using collaborative Web 2.0 software are governed by the same laws and regulations that govern traditional 20th century business practices or records practices. And what we try to do at the National Archives is help agencies understand that regardless of what kind of media it is that you're using to transact your business, you still need to manage the information and the records that are generated from those practices in an effective way that is compliant with the Federal Records Act.
And is NARA available for any managers out there who may have more questions about it?
Absolutely. If you go to www.archives.gov and click on Records Managers, you can look at our website that provides all the latest information on what's going on in the records management community, as well as a listing of your agency's records officer. One thing a lot of agencies don't know is who their records officer is within their organization that can help them sort through these issues. And we also have the points of contact here at the National Archives that can also assist with records management challenges.